This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Okay, the Cleveland Browns. What do you think they didn't need in the draft, Michael? Probably a quarterback. They get one late, but they get one that we're kind of familiar with. Taylen Green spent most of his, three of his college years playing for the Boise State Broncos, and then his last two playing for Arkansas. The Browns select quarterback Taylen Green in round 6 of the NFL draft. So he'll join a quarterback room that is currently holding an open competition between Deshaun Watson, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel. Sanders and Gabriel were both drafted last year. I a sixth round pick, but I just feel like if you're Cleveland, that's the one position to stay away from at least this season. That would be the one position I would say, no, we're good. Just draft somebody else. Anybody. Doesn't matter. I was shocked to kind of see that one.
I mean, how Cleveland Browns of them. The Broncos have started a seventh rounder, and the Dallas Cowboys started an undrafted free agent forever.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I don't know what they're up to. How about Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt's quarterback? He is now the first Heisman Trophy finalist to go undrafted since Northern Illinois quarterback Jordan Lynch in 2014. He has been invited to the Baltimore Ravens rookie minicamp, so he's heading there. He'll compete against Connecticut quarterback Joe Fagnano, if I can get that right, who is also receiving a tryout at Ravens rookie minicamp. Michael, Broncos draft was pretty interesting. Before the Broncos drafted tight end Justin Jolie, that's how we're saying it, right?
Yes.
CSU coach Jim Mora called his shot. So he coached him at UConn for 2 years. He texted the tight end on Friday and said, "Your time is coming. You're coming to the Broncos." So, according to Parker Gabriel of the Denver Post, just as day two of the draft began Friday evening, Justin Jolie's phone buzzed with a message from the Front Range, and it wasn't the one he was hoping for, but he ended up getting it anyway. It wasn't a potential new coaching staff or anything. It was a text from Colorado State coach Jim Mora, who recruited him out of high school to the University of Connecticut and coached him there for 2 seasons. So kind of a cool one there. I don't know if he had some intel or if he has a relationship with Sean Payton or George Payton or what, but he knew that he was going to be a Denver Bronco. Michael, the picks are in for the Broncos. And their first pick they got was round 3, pick number 66. They go with the D-tackle out of Texas A&M, and that's Tyler Onyedim? Is that how we're saying it? Onyedim? Is that Onyedim? Onyedim. That's how we're saying it. Onyedim. Onyedim.
Yeah.
Onyedim. Had it in my mind.
That's what I believe it is.
Watched a bunch of his clips on DenverBroncos.com when it was announced that he was coming to Denver. All the clips are going to be phenomenal. looks pretty good.
They're not going to show the clip of him being put on his butt by some other fat guy?
No, probably not. Now, for the Broncos, so he's a D-tackle, but the Broncos play a base 3-4 defense, so he will probably be a backup to, you know, a Zach Allen or Malcolm Roach. So he's not going to be like a nose tackle. He's going to be more of a D-end, a lefty and right D-end in a 3-4 defense. And he'll be a bench guy. He'll be a depth guy.
I mean, he does have some really good moves. But as you could see in some of those highlights that they put together on NFL.com, there were a couple where he was getting pushed back in the run play, but he was able to get out of that and make – he's got good moves. He just needs to work on the power.
He's 6'3", 295 pounds. I mean, listen, we knew going into the draft, Mike, everybody the Broncos selected would be a depth guy. And so in the fourth round, Mike, I was thinking of you on this one. At pick number 108, they take your guy. Susan and Cheryl love that. Jonah Coleman, the running back out of Washington. Yeah. Played there for a couple
seasons.
You're
going to love this guy. He's not going to start, but he's a tough runner.
During the break, you're like, I don't know how long his career is going to be, but he could pack a little bit of a punch.
I mean, the way he runs, the way this type of back, he's probably going to get hurt a number of times
because
he runs hard. He's a tackle breaker. He is. He's that type of guy. You hit him in the backfield, you better wrap up hard because he'll probably break that tackle. He's just one of those guys, kind of a Javonte Williams type. By the way, he can also block. So he's a good third down back. If it's like third and three or a goal line, he can get he's going to kick someone off the team. Somebody's going to lose their job. If you cannot block, you're not going to be on the team. You're going to lose your job.
The Broncos still have Jaleel McLaughlin, right?
They do, yeah.
So if you care about ESPN and their depth chart, we have J.K. Dobbins, we have R.J. Harvey. They have listed as the third back Jonah Coleman over Jaleel McLaughlin. So that would mean he'd get some meaningful he would actually get some meaningful reps if he's the third back. He's going to get some time.
Yeah, he probably will. I mean, the Broncos need someone. He's the type of guy, he will run up the middle. He's got good vision. And you know me, I'm always like, the Washington Huskies quarterback needs to be drafted first overall, and he's more like a third rounder.
You're not
but
normal.
Like,
you normally don't do the fanboy thing with Washington like you do the Broncos. I'll give you that. You're more logical.
I'm trying to be as realistic as possible. I know he's not going to be a starter, but
does he compete with R.J. Harvey at two? Now, let's not forget, R.J. Harvey lived up to all the expectations, but he did score a lot of touchdowns. What, do you have 11 touchdowns last year receiving and rushing?
Yeah, but you've got a different type of back. You have a back who's good at going up the middle and has good vision and can block. He's not going to miss blocks. He is a good blocker. So this is a different back. This is a guy, if you need third and two, third and three, you can get a first down with this guy. As long as you have a good offensive line. I mean, he's... go and look at his highlights. Like, he was, when he got hurt, Washington suffered.
Well, I mean, Mike, I'm excited for it, for that pickup. I still don't really believe that anybody on this list is a guy that's going to make an impact, a real impact next season. I think, honestly, maybe Jonah Coleman might have the best shot to do that.
He'll probably be the best. He's not going to be your number.
Most of these, your number one
and your number two.
Most of these guys are just depth guys, and that's what we all figured going into the draft. So they had two picks in the fourth round. They got Cage Casey, the tackle out of Boise State.
I mean, that guy's there obviously for depth, and he started his position like as a swing tackle. What they'll probably do with him is like make him one of those guys who, like, if you lose a tackle, you can put him in that position.
Yeah,
if you lose a guard,
getting
you can put
depth
him in that
at that position.
Position
is always key. I mean, we talked about that on Friday. You know, I always suggest offensive linemen, because those guys, they're going at it nonstop. They, you know, I know they're not part of the big highlight plays and the highlight hits and things that could really take you out, but wear and tear on offensive linemen is a foregone conclusion. So having more depth at that spot. We talked about Justin Jolie, the tight end from NC State. They got a safety out of Illinois, Miles Scott, not Michael Scott, but might call him Michael Scott a few times. Dallin Bentley, another tight end out of Utah. And then Red Murdoch, linebacker out of Buffalo.
I really want him to make the team because that is a cool name.
Red Murdoch, yeah. Best name of the group, I would say.
So there is a difference between Dalen Bentley and Justin Jolie. One of them is more of a blocking tight end, and the other one is your, like, F tight end. So, like, Justin Jolie is going to be the guy that catches your passes. He's not a blocker. And
Dalen Bentley. Yeah.
He had only a couple of receptions, but, 48 grabs
Another blocking tight end.
He's your blocker.
So they get Red Murdoch also with the name, the linebacker out of Buffalo. So he was also Mr. Irrelevant. So there's a lot.
He's relevant to me.
There's a lot. Well, of course. You probably think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
There's a possibility.
Best chance of being a Ring of Honor guy. Go. Which one? Give me it. Long-term Bronco. Best chance being long-term Bronco. Great Bronco.
This is tough.
Is this going to go down as like the draft?
I mean,
for good reason. They didn't need this to be an amazing draft. They're not at that point right now.
Yeah, they were given a B+. Like I went and looked at like the Raiders were given an A, the Jets and Giants were both given an A, the Broncos were given a B+. Like normally they give the Broncos C or something.
They just filled positions that needed depth, and that's exactly what you did. You didn't reach. You didn't try to trade around and do anything crazy.
You just handled
your business. And that's exactly what we expected the Broncos to do.
Yeah, I was paying attention to the draft on my phone, and I'm like, the Broncos are coming up. Broncos, Bills. Why did we trade with the Bills?
Oh, okay. So Savion Jones and Tyler Oyedem will be battling. They're the kinds of pieces that are probably going to be role players, but maybe bigger players, bigger pieces in the future. But it seems like the dude that's most excited to be there is definitely Jonah Coleman. Like, he was pumped to be a Bronco, Michael.
Yeah. He probably realizes that there's going to be competition. He realizes there's going to be competition. Like, J.K. Dobbins, obviously, but J.K. Dobbins gets hurt. R.J. Harvey doesn't quite have the vision yet, needs a lot more work. He's going to get a handful of carries. I mean, he's not going to be your number one unless he proves it.
He can block pretty good, too, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good blocking back.
So say goodbye to, I forget which running back wasn't able to block.
Was Jahlil that good?
I mean, Jahlil,
JK could block. I don't know if RJ could block well.
No. There's someone that was never
whole,
active. Who?
It's a whole, Bidet? Is that what
you're
doing? Yeah.
I don't think anybody
on this roster is like known as a blocking running back. So having that piece is interesting, and if he can be somewhat productive when he does get some carries, so it's not so obvious when he's in the game what the Broncos are going to do. And that was one of the first things he said was, "I get to protect Bo Nix." You don't usually hear a running back say those kind of things.
Yeah, what's going to be interesting is what side of the line is he going to line up on when they're playing the Raiders? Oh, the right side.
Mm-hmm. A little chip action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way he's going to be able to block Max Crosby, but he's got better, like
a
he's
better chance.
Got better. He's not going to get blown up. He's a tough back. He's not going to get blown up, but he'll put up a fight. He'll lose, but he'll put up a fight.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, this isn't a draft class that we're all freaking out about, and that just added to our Super Bowl dreams. They were just steady picks, Michael. They were just steady picks. No reaching.
No ring of famers.
No taking random, you know, guys that just are sexy names and were maybe really good in their position for a couple of seasons. They just went after the depth pieces to help fill this team out. And, yeah, it's great. It was a weird year in the draft, build up for the draft. And I think for us in Colorado, I think Big Hub asked that. You didn't have a first-round pick and you didn't have a second-round pick. So.
And then you, like, you traded. I mean, this is the weirdest draft I remember in a while. This is the most I've forgotten about a draft since we never talked about it.
Well, we talked about it a little bit, but I mean, to be honest, we had both the Avs and the Nuggets starting their playoff series and both at the time were projected to do some pretty big things, Mike. And it just didn't.
The Broncos weren't projected to, you know, pick anybody.
It wasn't interesting. It wasn't as interesting to me this year for that reason.
The Broncos weren't, like, picking any real skill positions. Like, there were no cornerbacks the Broncos were looking at. Like, the Broncos weren't looking at, like, defensive tackle's not sexy.
No.
Offensive lineman's not sexy.
No.
Running back is not what it used
especially
to be.
Not that, like, a guy that, you know, one of the first things he says is, I'm excited to protect Bo Nix. But when did the Broncos trade? Was that they would have had 62? Was that would it have been 62 that they traded to Buffalo?
And they traded it down to like number 69 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Bills got.
I had zero pressure on this draft. I mean,
could have had an F and like no Broncos fan would really care.
No, I really don't. The fact that you're saying B plus is actually astonishing to me. I'll take it because I wouldn't have cared if they would have given them an F.
Because picking two tight ends was interesting to me, but
they do
need tight ends. I mean, you have a blocking tight end who has very few receptions. You have a receiving tight end who doesn't have as many receptions as we wanted him to have, and he dropped the ball a lot. I mean, Joe Lee's supposed to be like much more sure-handed. And that's what you want. The Broncos were number two.
You get a pass-catching tight end, and you get a blocking, a more of a blocking mindset type tight end. You need tight ends, Mike, and maybe they both don't work out. Maybe one of them does. It's what they needed to do. They needed to get a running back. They needed to get some tight ends, and they did. And they got a tackle out of the deal. They got another linebacker. Who knows if any of these guys will do anything in the next few years, or if this is going to be one of those drafts where you look back 10 years from now and you're just kind of like, yeah, none of that really worked out. But we all know that wasn't, I mean, this is all, you're playing with house money in this year's draft. The Broncos definitely were playing with house money. Because, I mean, even the national correspondents were talking about the Broncos and what they would potentially do. It was all about drafting for depth. And that's a good place to be. You know, when we talked about the positions of need, they went out and filled one of those big, you know, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Well, they re-signed J.K. Dobbins. If he could stay healthy, that's a great re-sign. I know that's a big if. And then they go and trade for Jalen Waddle. So they upgraded two of the three. I guess you could say upgraded if you're calling J.K. Dobbins an upgrade because he wasn't really there half the season. But you took care of two of your critical positions, and then you drafted a couple of flyers out on tight ends late in the draft to try to see if that, you know, if any of these guys might, you know, be something. First of it is text line 888-530-0043. So there it is. The Broncos draft. And okay, I'm fine with it. Fine. Pressure was off for George Payton and Sean Payton. That comes later. The pressure starts on the Broncos when we get into the fall.
Yeah, I don't think, no offense to Jonah, my new favorite Bronco, but I don't think we're going to have any Ring of Famers coming from this draft. It's possible, but I mean,
yeah,
you're
going
to have to work really, really hard. You're talking about guys who just aren't as athletic. Now, you have Terrell Davis, who was a late-round draft pick, and he's a Ring of Famer, but that's one of the very few exceptions.
Yeah, counting on that is pretty. It would be pretty bold I would say. All right, Mike, let's take a quick break. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence. So that also means they have extensive national resources. So they're local with the big guns. And they have a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for their clients. With Renaissance Insurance Group, clients receive the benefits of a depth of carriers and risk management solutions that most brokers in Northern Colorado are unable to offer. Check them out online at team-rig.com. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Year. You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
I want to thank Interior Sprinkler Systems for being a great sponsor of this show. For sprinkler installation, fire extinguisher inspection, kitchen hoods, paint booths, fire alarms, all your fire suppression and safety needs are going to be found at Interior Sprinkler Systems. Check them out online at interiorsprinkler.com. The Avalanche finally break one open in this series, and they sweep the Kings in four games. And Mike, Scott Wedgwood has been, like, through one playoff series, I mean, the Avalanche haven't had this dominant of a goalie since Wall, right? I mean, it's been a long time since you've... Now, they have all the right pieces when it comes to their front four, the top four lines, their stars on this team. They have a little bit of everything. But even in their Stanley Cup year, we talk about Darcy. We talked about him before. It was still kind of like, at any minute, this could get ugly. But Scott Wedgwood has been incredible in this first series.
I remember Varlamov being pretty good for a while.
Yeah. I don't know if it was as dominant.
Then he got in trouble.
And he had some issues. It just kind of felt like this was going to happen in game four. The dam was finally going to break for the Avs.
You know, yeah, they
win all these gritty games. They find ways to get them, and then they just keep playing their game, and then boom, it pops open, and the Avs just absolutely. Now, Kings made it somewhat interesting at the end of the first, but the Avs kept firing back and win 5-1. Man, that's a great way to finish the series because you got all the other stuff too, the hard stuff, the gritty ways to win a game, but then you had the pretty one where it was just the sexy game. Nathan MacKinnon, who was having, you know, not really issues. It was just a team effort, but he scored twice and added an assist. Wedgwood had 24 saves, finished the series with just 5 goals allowed in the opening round series. 5 goals allowed.
And let's, they weren't just like, you know, straight up, he's the guy the entire time.
Yeah, I mean,
he starfished a couple times. He was on his back a couple times. He made some amazing saves. This Stars team played lights out. Let's no doubt about
Kings.
It. They played their game. They played dirty, played mucked up the ice. It was...
They probably played about as good as you can hope
for
with
them.
Their talent compared to the Avs' talent. So if you're a Kings fan, like, I don't know what your future looks like, but... You, that's kind of maybe what you expected, but a little bit better. I don't know if you expected a sweep, but that's kind of it.
I mean, they they looked like the better team in the first few minutes of the game. More shots on goal, skating around, getting the puck to the eye, to the net. And then the Avs just opened it up. The Avs just started playing.
Who would
better.
You rather have, the Wild or the Stars, Mike? That I don't. You'd rather have the Wild, but I kind of want the Avalanche. I know what you're going to say. You're going to do the whole, hey, you take on the team that you've had issues with. And I, dude, that series would be, they would both be pretty good, but that series is far from over. I mean, that's tied up at two apiece right now. I don't think they play. Do they play tomorrow night? Maybe they play Wednesday. But they're still, let me see. No, they play tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. That will be game 5, and the series is tied at two apiece. So the Avs are going to, then that whole question comes in of how much time is too much time. There's going to be some time. But 33 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farouk, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Got an update here from On the Rocks Liquor, the beverage of the week. The new mixed ready-to-drink cocktails available in Blue Hawaiian Margarita and Long Island Iced Tea. So they're the new MXD, and basically it's mixed drink cocktails. Hawaiian Margarita and Long Island Iced Tea at 12% ABV and only $8 a four-pack. These drinks pack a punch and are easy on the bank account. Try some today at On the Rocks Liquor. Stop by. Maybe you're going to have a beverage tonight. In honor of the Nuggets, maybe you have a sad beverage at the end of the night, or you have a happy beverage. Either way, make On the Rocks Liquor your next celebration. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I got many people texting in from earlier on the Nuggets conversation that if the Nuggets lose tonight, David Adelman is gone. Travis, the new guy, no, they're not. Played tonight at 8:30. Are you asking me if I think they're out? Down 3-1? Mike, I think they probably win tonight. And that's as far as I don't... With the injuries to Minnesota, I could definitely see a world where we get to 6. Or get to 7. But even if you win tonight... You got to find a way to win one in Minnesota. And again, even with their guys out, they were delivered that blow. I've seen the Nuggets when they lost Joker in a game, you know, all hell broke loose. I saw Minnesota react in such a positive way for them. Like, they weren't rattled. They lose DiVincenzo in the first minute of the game. They lose Anthony Edwards in the first half. They come out of halftime, and they look like they don't have any issues. I mean, it was really impressive. And again, when you have a guy like Ayo Dosunmu, he go off like that, 43 points off the bench. You know, with a different role in this game now to start, we'll see. Sometimes you ride high, you know, the next man up mentality sometimes can really not just be a cliche, can actually be a real thing. But it's going to be a battle. I'm sure it'll still be a battle tonight. Mentally, you're in a tough spot. You know, I haven't even seen yet, Michael, if there's any updates on Gordon yet. Let's see. I'm just checking now. What's better for the Nuggets? Does he, if he plays? He's listed as questionable still. But man, and again, I said this to start the show, mad respect for Aaron Gordon. You guys know how much I respect that dude. Mr. Nugget, I've said it for years, he's the second best, a second most important Nugget on this roster. And I respect him for going out there, but if you can't go much harder than that, not harder. It's not like he wasn't going hard. It's just the injury is going to keep him from doing the things he normally does. It makes him so good. Being able to defend 1 through 5, moving, you know, in a lateral way. He did not have it. He had a hard time closing out shots. He had a hard time going up for layups. Just not the same. And that, you know, again, it's not a comparable injury to that of Anthony Edwards, but it certainly has been a significant hit to not have him healthy in this series. The fact he even had 9 points is kind of crazy. Even a block. Don't you just get this feeling, though, like with every move he makes, you could see something like what we saw with Ant-Man or with DiVincenzo. And again, mad props to him. Seeing all that and still coming out and playing. Ultimately only played 23 minutes. But keys to the game, again, still goes on Joker. If he can win his one-on-one matchup against Rudy Gobert, more often than not, you force Minnesota's hand. But they have to get better in the paint. They just have to. And that is part of the reason I was watching the four-letter network this morning. The fear that the Denver Nuggets could still lose this game tonight, even though they are 11.5-point favorites, is the simple fact that the paint game has not been strong for Denver. They don't have the shot blockers. And when Gordon is out, you're putting a lot on Joker. You're asking Spencer Jones, a guy's name you didn't even know to start the season. You're asking him to come in and try to be special. Let's read a couple of texts. Smitty, the NBA makes more money with a Game 7 series. Refs also make more money, and they know this. Well, they definitely want it to go 7 games. This has been the Nuggets-Timberwolves series was supposed to be the best series of all of them. And it's 3-1 right now, so they definitely want it to. I mean, you got the Thunder and the Suns. Thunder leads their series 3-0. Can't imagine the Suns even steal one. Lakers-Rockets. The Lakers are up 3-1. It was kind of a shocker there. The Rockets win last night, and they survive. Sengun was pretty damn good last night, both as a leader and a player on the floor. Spurs and Trailblazers. I mean, we got Wimby back, and we'll get into that in the final hour of the show. But the only reason I think the Spurs got one was because Wimby's head bounced off of the floor like 5 times, gave him a concussion, and he missed the end of the game of game 2 between the Spurs and the Blazers. Piston Magic, I mean, you've got Orlando leading that series right now. That's kind of a wild one. The Magic are an 8 seed. Cavs Raptors tied at 2. Knicks Hawks tied at 2. And Celtics Sixers, you have Boston leading that series 3-1. So it was supposed to be like a big, like the Nuggets Timberwolves series was supposed to be the favorite of these series, but there's a lot of other series going on that are more entertaining and more competitive at this point. Be careful in using competitive around David Adelman. East Side Chris, I'm of the thinking if the Nuggets don't win the series, Adelman should be gone. Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing a guy I mentioned last week. I keep seeing Steve Kerr's name mentioned. Do the Nuggets pay that, though? Kroenkes don't want to spend a whole lot. Part of the reasoning, I think, going in on hiring David Adelman was, hey, rookie head coach, man, we don't got to pay a ton. Plus, we got Joker to kind of help ease that guy's transition into being a head coach. I don't see Denver going after a big, flashy name. I mean, they got Michael Malone after he had been fired by Sacramento. Brian Shaw, before Malone, had not been a head coach before. So, and obviously they had George Karl for a very, very long time. But, you know, the 3 hires since George Karl, none of those guys were A-list coaches at that time. Michael Malone might have been considered A-list after his time with the Nuggets, but the history doesn't scream to me that Denver will go after a Thibodeau or Steve Kerr or anybody like that. If that's even what they want to do. And I'm not saying this is what they need to do. I mean, Malone coached them when they lost to Minnesota in 7. Is there not a part of you hooligans that are like wanting him out that are kind of like, dude, he's a rookie coach. He's going to get better. Now, he did. He coached in the playoffs last year. I get that. He coached the final 3 games of the regular season and then the playoffs. The fact that they went 7 against OKC last year is phenomenal. I guess there's no room. You know, he didn't build himself up at all any good grace with you if you're just like, no. I don't know where I am either, to be honest. Maybe we talk about that tomorrow if need be. Because if you survive and you win this series, that's going to be a hell of a comeback, even with Anthony Edwards out. That'd still be a hell of a comeback. John texting in. Michael inbounds the ball to me. I oop the ball to you after using my elevator to raise up. You, Brady, dunk the ball, and the Nuggets win by 2 points. So we're playing in the game tonight? I don't think so. I don't think so, Mike. Listen, man, it's going to be another intense night. I hope they can win it. Christian Brown said, hey, we owe it to our fans to win this game. They're viewing this definitely as that, hey, it's just you have to. You're down 3-1. You have to just approach this game as, hey, tonight is the end-all, be-all. You've got to do the cliches. You know, we got to go 1-0. All the cliches are real now. They're real now because you lose tonight, this thing is done. And big conversations are going to be had the next few weeks, the next few months.
Take it one game at a time because there is only one game at a time.
They're 11.5-point favorites. Come on. Don't tease me.
I mean, the way they've been playing, though.
What does that mean?
They've been playing terrible.
Right. So why are they 11.5-point favorites? Because Anthony Edwards is out? I guess.
Is this a problem on the Nuggets? Like, I feel like it's more the Nuggets haven't been playing well.
So the odds makers are saying, no, the Nuggets are going to get it together, plus Anthony Edwards is out. So, yeah, Nuggets going to roll through the series.
Cross your fingers.
I think there's a chance. I'm not willing to predict it right now, Mike. Maybe call me a cop-out. There's part of me that thinks they could win this series. There's part of me that thinks they could just show up, get bounced in the first period, and never get it back, and it's just done.
I'm not going to play that positive music I was playing last week.
Oh, it's a dire situation right now, Michael. It's a tough situation for Denver to be in. 12:49 the time. Clip of the day coming up next. Concussion protocols, a topic of discussion here on the whole show today. We'll be right back.
For Saturdays, 4 code words, 1 big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up next, we got the clip of the day. Also, a new star in the making in Colorado sports. We saw this guy shine over the weekend, and he's had some incredible performances so far. So we're going to talk about that coming up in the final hour of the show. Also, put the finishing touches to the Nuggets Wolves. Hopefully, not the finishing touches to the series tonight, but the start of something crazy. Denver's come down from 3-1 before. You know, it's in the bubble, they did it twice in a row. But as I say, the championship in the bubble is a Mickey Mouse championship. Then I have to also be fair and say the 3-1, 3-1 comebacks, which nobody's ever done back to back like that, also is kind of Mickey Mousey. So I'm crumpling it up and I'm throwing it out. Yeah, I'm doing it. Clip of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.